Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a my brother, my brother, my brother. What you know,
it's gonna come.
Good evening, everyone. I greet each of you in the matchless, awesome, and magnificent name of Jesus. We sincerely appreciate your fellowship and tremendous support. I have your line open, Pastor Hamilton.
Amen.
We sincerely appreciate your sweet fellowship and tremendous support. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Time of Reflection. I'm your host for today, Sister Ruby Lowry, and the founder and host of Vander's Adrian will be back on Sunday morning for morning prayer at 7 a.m. A Time of Reflection is a radio broadcast that will encourage, enrich, enhance, enlighten, and empower listeners to trust God in every area of their life, naturally and spiritually, and to pursue their God-given destiny without apology. We are mandated to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as we stand firmly upon our foundation scriptures and are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone that we find in Ephesians chapter 2:20. Join us daily Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. Saturday, they overcame with host Billy Burns at 5 a.m. P.S. time. Early Sunday morning prayers at 7 a.m. Tune in, expected to hear and receive fresh oil from God Almighty. We appreciate your support. The call-in number is 1-858-683-1334. Please email us at newdestinyministry54@gmail.com or mail us any prayer requests or praise report you would like us to share on the broadcast to P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Also visit us on the Facebook and like our ministry pages, and our website is www.newdestinyministry.com. And we're so excited because this is our Friday, Provoke Friday, and we're back with Pastor Edward Hamilton, the Provoke Friday. He's been going for. So, Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you to say the prayer, and you can go every way the Lord leads you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Hello, family. Know you're loved and appreciated, highly esteemed and favored in the name of Jesus, and we really appreciate God for you. We thank God for you, and we continually pray that enormous blessings come into your life immediately when you get in line with God's word. But hello again, and here we are for both Fridays. We're excited because this week we have been presented with the question. One of the biggest questions that I believe was addressed to the disciples, and the question was, who does man say that I am? And I am so excited. I've listened to a couple of broadcasts, and I've heard some awesome word go forth, and God has spoken to our spirit to provoke us today with the question. And our question we're going to go into today would be, what is your final answer? The question is, what is your final answer? Now, that's one of those where you have to use your handy, look at yourself in the mirror, where you can look at yourself and ask, what is your question to the answer of who does man say that he is? Amen? Well, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you again, Lord. First of all, just worshiping you, Lord, in spirit and truth, Lord. Coming before you, Lord, with willing, available spirits to get in line with your word. Lord, we touch and agree. Lord, we bind ourselves in unity right now, Lord, for oneness, for your word to come forth, Lord, for you to speak through us, Heavenly Father God, that we may be able to perceive you on the inside, that we can do exactly what you told us to do on the outside. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can claim those promises today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can stand in victory today, Lord, because it's already done, because of your victorious act on the cross that you gave us your blood that would wash away not just one, but every one of our sins. So we thank you today, Lord. And just for that, we worship you today, Lord. We give you all the honor, Heavenly Father God. Lord, we just scream out into the atmosphere right now, Heavenly Father God, that you just connect us, Lord Jesus, that our oneness be unified through your spirit, Heavenly Father God. We pray that your ministering and your protective and your anointed angels would just go through the airways right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, dispersing your love, dispersing your word, Heavenly Father God, and dispersing your wisdom that gives us much understanding, which we need mostly, Heavenly Father God. So we thank you today. Lord, we continue to pray for the mighty woman of God, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. Lord, we thank you for her, Lord. We continue to uplift her, Heavenly Father God. We continue to undergird her, Heavenly Father God. We continue to stand in that gap for her right now, Jesus, to say, Lord, she is healed. She is protected. She is called according to her purpose in you right now in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, that it's done. It's finished and complete. And we claim that right now in the name of Jesus. And all those in agreement said, amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this afternoon. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. There is none like you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, come on, just lift your hands right now and just wave your hands and give him a knowing sign that we worship him just because of who he is. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that as we decrease, Lord, your increase right now. That as we stop thinking, Lord, your thoughts will come to life, Lord. That as we stop speaking our own way, that you'll speak, Heavenly Father God. Lord, just take away anything that is not in line with your word right now, Heavenly Father God. As we lift it up into worship right to you right now, Lord, we give you exaggerated respect right now. We honor you, Lord, with all we have. We worship you with everything before us right now, Jesus. And we just say, have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Oh, have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Move, Jesus. Move, Jesus.
Have your way.
Oh, have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Oh, I'm not going to bump up.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on, somebody say hallelujah.
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 Open the line.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Family. Well, God, I am excited. I'm excited, first of all, that we're all together and that we have another opportunity to explore God's uncompromisable word.
Hallelujah.
And we're
going to
begin today coming out of the book of Mark, beginning in the 8th chapter in the 27th to 30th verses. And we'll read that just for the sake of the scripture, and out of the New King James, it says now. It said that's the Bible. It said now, not yesterday, not tomorrow. See, I told you, you keep looking through this word repetitiously, and you'll start to see these power words jump out. That word now is an acknowledgement that we got to do something when? Right now, 05 seconds. Verse 27. Now Jesus and his disciples, he wasn't alone, went out to the towns of Seraphia and Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered him, well, some say John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and other ones of them say prophets. Well, he responded to them, and he said, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered unto him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should not tell no one about him. Now, as we look at the scripture here, God presented to me that, you know, not only do we need to look at this question, because a lot of us have a lot of questions in our lives that fill our whole sense realm with what we do and what we're going to, how we're going to react out of things. Like, before you ask yourself the question, who do they say he is, we ask ourselves some questions like this that just go into our routine. What should I wear today? I mean, what am I going to eat for dinner? What am I going to watch on TV tonight? I mean, those questions, everybody can acknowledge that those are questions that have long-term importance in our lives. Some questions are just plain unanswerable. Like, why do women open their mouths when they put on eye makeup? Why do men refuse to stop and ask for directions? If nothing ever sticks to Teflon, how do they make Teflon stick to the pan? What was the best thing before sliced bread? You know, these are questions that really don't matter, you know, whether good or bad, but they're still questions. Then some of the life questions could be terribly important. Will you marry me? You know, some of us are about to ask those questions. What shall be the name of the baby? Or we may ask our doctor, what is the prognosis? All of these are questions that have lifelong implications in our lives. We have to ask questions to get answers. And answers will now give you choices to make in life. Say that with me. You must ask questions.
Must ask questions.
So you can. Okay, you must ask questions. Say that with me.
Your lines aren't open. I'll open it for the manager. You must ask questions. Your lines are open.
Thank you.
Your lines
thank you, my
are
sister.
Open.
Okay. Oh, the lines are open. Okay. Well, the first question, this is the principle we're going to start with. We must design our lives to start asking questions. So a question, when you ask a question, you will get the result of an answer. And once you get an answer, now you can make a conscious choice. See, a lot of us just blindly do things without asking whether it's good or whether it's bad. Some of us do things without even considering the repercussions or the penalties that could come from our actions. When one question sometimes could be the importance of whether we win or lose. A question could determine on whether you go down the wrong road and die or go down the lightest street and live. Questions. Oh. Questions must come with the result of an answer. You must get in the habit of asking questions. Say that to your neighbor or say it to your mirror there, is that look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I
you
must
know what?
Start asking questions.
Start asking questions.
Because when Jesus is being very prolific here as he goes to his disciples, and he didn't question them on their own first, notice. He questioned them on what other people said. See, a question will now give you what he wanted, the result was a what? An answer. And now from an answer, he can now make a perception on which road to take. You know, they were in between two cities. That question may have been presented just so he could know the anointing that may be followed on the road. But the question would result in an answer that he could now, or now we, could make a choice. See, in this passage, Jesus asks two questions that are eternal in nature. See, the first question has nothing to do with others, you know, has to do with what others say about Jesus. What their opinions of him reveal the conditions of their heart. See, by asking a question, I'll get an answer, and that will give me the result of who you are. Just by asking a simple question. See, Jesus asked the question so he could find out, because, you know, to ask, say, let's back up a little bit. Before he asked the question, you have to first of all know that someone may have the answer. And just think that, you know, the disciples, now this is in my understanding, the disciples had to have went forth into these places and had some experience on what the word was being rumbled about Jesus. They had heard the rumors. They had heard. So as they came back and as they were in their travels, Jesus presented the question people that he was going to go be entertaining. Remember we talked about last week is that we, you know, we have to be careful of what we allow ourselves to get involved in. Now, yes, Jesus knew that his time on the cross was coming. But the lessons and the principles that he instituted in the Word are for us today to live victorious, to get to the other side, to get to heaven, to get to glory, to get to the victorious part of life, to say, I am a child of God. So as we look at this, we want to see what was the principle that God was teaching us through Jesus' question to the disciples. Was it just a blind question to know what people thought? No, it was a question that he could now get an answer, and by having that answer, he could choose what those people were going to, what their attitude was going to be before they got there. See, a lot of times we go places without even asking the question of what do they teach, or what do they believe, or what do they do, or how do they fellowship, or what is their structure? We go in fellowship places without even knowing whether order is in place or not, because we don't want to ask the question, because when we ask questions, we feel like, well, at least I used to feel this way. Maybe it's only me. But sometimes when you ask questions, you feel a little out of place because people think you're too nosy, and maybe you, but you know what? Guess what? Get over it and move on, because if we do not ask questions, we'll never make right choices, because we start to make our choices without even knowing what the answer is. We go to places without knowing what the environment entails. We go places, oh, yes, you're prayed up. Yes, you're anointed. But we go places and we come out weak and we come out damaged because we, first of all, didn't ask the question. Some of us just see a dollar sign, and we'll go places without asking the question so we can get the answer. So now we can go back to step one of no options and then go back to Christ and say, okay, Lord, is this for you? Is this where you put me? Because when I ask a question to God, he undoubtedly gives me an answer, a clear answer. He doesn't give me a route, or he doesn't give me a way. He gives me an answer so I can now make conscious choices. Well, in my choices, I have to make my choices according to what the condition or what the outcome is going to be in my life. So I believe here, as I study this, is that Jesus, when he asked the first question, it was because he valued the opinions of others toward him. He wanted to know the conditions of their hearts. See, their answer to his first question demonstrates whether they are saved or not. Sometimes the questions and the answer, the questions you ask and the answers that you receive will let you know where people stand. See, by being bold and by regaining our birthrights of confidence, of courage, of hope, of faith, of belief and of trust that God is the source of everything, well, now we stand on the promises of our birthright. We have the confidence to go ask questions and the courage to receive an answer, and hopeful that we can now make conscious choices that will now benefit whether my faith, my belief, my hope, and my trust are going to stay intact. See, everything is a principle. There are so many principles in the Word of God that when we take our time and slow down, look at your neighbor, say slow down, or look at yourself and say sometimes we just must slow down. See, when they answered the question, it gave the answer that demonstrated on where they were in their walk, where they stood in religion, whether they were Jew or Gentile. See, an answer can, you know, give you the result. Is that city Jewish or is that city Gentile? But he asked a question to know the conditions of their heart. Then now the second has to do with your personal opinion of who Jesus is. See, your answer to this question will determine whether you spend eternity with him or not. So, of course, the answer that was received from the disciples off of part two of the question now revealed where their hope, faith, belief, and trust says they would be. So, your answer will determine where you'll be. Now, remember where we started out. What's your final answer? So, if it's vitally important for us to consider how we will answer that question. Okay, first, and then we'll go straight back to the Word, because we want to stay where? In the Word, so we can now see how God give us an exemplary principle that we could follow to receive victory. Okay, so we want to consider the first question. Jesus asked his disciples that day, because these two questions continue to be the utmost of importance to us in this world today. And remember, I told you that as we go forth, the Word will show us that, yes, it was good for then, but it's even better for today, because it's for us. It's for a now time. It's for such a time as this. When? Now. So we're going to take a look at the two probing questions. And remember, the principle is ask a question, receive an answer, make a choice. Not just any kind of choice. See, we make unconscious choices because we don't ask questions or we ignore the answer. Sometimes the answer is right in your face, and we'll ignore it because we think we want the results that are supposed to come. They never come, but we go through pain and suffering just because we wouldn't recognize the answer was given to us very clear, very plain. So, question one. We are told that Jesus and his disciples are in the cities of Caesarea and Philippi. Now, see, this is prominently Gentile area. It was located some 25 miles north of Bathsheba, where Jesus had just healed a blind man. Remember back in Mark 8:22-26. And see, it is there that a spring issues from the Mount Hermon that forms one of the tributes that becomes the Jordan River. See, this is a beautiful area, but it's really kind of backed up behind pagan religion. You remember, it's Gentile, so they're not really conditioned to Jewish law or to Christianity. See, it was they call it the Baal worship. And then they changed it to Panias, and this is just some history things. But you have to understand, this city was not godly. It was definitely not a place that most Christians would go. It's a lesson in this. Now, Caesarea, and I never can pronounce this right, but we're just going to say Philippi, also contained a gleaming marble temple. I mean, Herod built it. It was in honor to a man. It was in honor to Rome. You know, so it was a place of paganistic idols. They worshipped man-made gods. It was here that they worshipped what they call idols. You know, this is where they would fall down and carry these big golden goats, and it would only give homage to them. It's where Jesus chose a place to make, you know, the fuller revelation of himself to his disciples. He could have did it anywhere. He could have did it in Jerusalem. He could have did it anywhere. But history shows me that he chose a place that was not godly at all to make his most revealing revelation. Now, watch this. Why would he not make the revelation around the people who needed to know that he was the Christ? My answer would be is that, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. Sometimes you know it's bubbling in your spirit to tell what God is about to do, but it's just not the season yet. So sometimes we have to get disciplined. This is another lesson that Jesus is showing me here, that he had to seclude himself because it wasn't time to reveal to the believers, the unbelievers, and the ones that persecuted him. So we sometimes got to look at this lesson that when it's time to go forth and we know that the call is on our life, we know it's coming. Sometimes we just got to hush up and seclude ourselves and surround ourselves with only people we can trust. Because what he did here, he revealed himself to those disciples as truly Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He never before had acknowledged to them only through his example, because he had already healed the blind, raised the dead. He had healed the lame. He had done all of these miraculous miracles, so they had saw the evidence of God's power work through Jesus, but this was the first time that he decided to reveal himself to them. But what was so dynamic is the principle now repetitiously repeats itself, because he asked a question to get what? An answer. His answer resulted in a choice. Then he now comes back repetitiously. See, this continues to show me that I cannot stop just by getting one answer. I cannot stop by making one good choice. I can't stop. I must continue and repetitiously reenact this principle in my life daily. Over and over and over and over. And I know most will say, well, Pastor, I've been doing it so long, I'm used to it. Well, the Bible didn't say, it never says quit. It never says stop. The Bible says to continue to push, to make this thing work. So now it not only becomes repetitiously to us, but now as we do what? Because I was sharing with someone yesterday, there's only two things that we really have to concern ourselves about when it's about coming to God. When most people say, you know, when I'm talking out in the evangelistic world and out in the hoods and in the places of darkness, and people say, well, man, I need this, I need, you know, I have two simple answers for people. There was only two commands given in this walk. The first one was to come. It didn't have come with the parentheses, with all these other actions that you had to take. It just said simply, come. Now, yes, it does reiterate that there. It says, come as you are. But the main word, and it's an action word. So for me, in my provoked lifestyle, in my new way of searching God's word, see, that word, come, is an action word. I look for the words that motivate me to get up. So when it says, come, stop right there. Because that's all it takes, is for you to come. That's it. Well, Pastor, where can I sit in the church? Anywhere you want. Just say come. Well, I want to sing in the choir. Okay, go to new membership class. Join the choir. And you're singing. When? Right now. Well, I just all I did was come, because you know he didn't tell me that I have to encourage you to come with these stipulations. It just says come. Secondly, after you got here and you come, he'll start to move in our lives, because we now come into a acknowledgement that I cannot go somewhere without asking. Oh, Jesus. Questions. You could, all of us that have held a job or still holding jobs, you could have not gotten your paycheck on Friday if you didn't ask the right questions to get through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Because by getting questions, you got answers where now you can do exactly what your boss wanted you to do. But there are some out there that will not ask questions, and they just do it. Well, I thought you wanted, that's what I thought you said. Well, I thought you would have liked it. Well, he did it. I thought I could do it. See, that's what gets us in trouble. See, because we don't ask questions. Family, if we can, as a unified body of Christ, look at just the one principle of this lesson, to ask questions. Because if we ask the questions, we'll get the answers. The answers will now give us the ability to make conscious choices so we can walk in victorious life. So, back to what we said. So, remember, in all this that we're talking about, never get discouraged. And this was the point of what I was saying. Never get discouraged. Never get down on yourself. Just come. Never beat yourself up. Get out of depression. Do the number one thing that we should have done a long time ago. Forgive yourself. And just come. Some things I may say to you in the weeks to come, in the weeks that have passed, you know, some of the things that the enemy will come to your mind and tell you is that you're not good enough. Or you'll never learn it that way. Or why can't you see it that way? Well, you know, what God did for me, he'll do for you. It's what he gives me, he'll give you. But we just got to come. See, by making that action, that progressive move towards him, we've given him that we'll walk by faith and not by sight. By asking questions, we can now develop the invisible into the visible. People ask all the time, well, Pastor, how do you, your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How will I ever see it? Well, the principle here tells me if I ask questions, they will result in answers. The answers will now result in the choice that is physical, that is the visible, that is now been transformed from invisible form to visible form. But you had to follow what? The principle. See, the Lord's first question, he said, who does man say I am? Jesus knew what people were saying about him. He wasn't paranoid, nor was he seeking praise from men. Jesus, everything he did was to teach us. So Jesus intended to use the opinions of other people, not just about him, but concerning his identity. Not to do anything else but to incite the disciples to think about their own opinion of just who Jesus was. See, everything is done for a reason, and for every reason is done. And I understand now that God, everything that he does in my life is for a purpose. Does it always feel good? No. Do I always get everything I thought I'd? No. Do I have everything today from a result? No. But what I do have, oh, Jesus, but what I do have is I have the option to make a choice, not off of my feelings, but off of my questions that I ask who? God. Now, we know Jesus was all, he was there, he was God in the foot. All on the air, just throw your hands up in the air, wave them, and just say, Pastor E, we with you. We can skip that part because we know Jesus is all. There is no other. There's only one way to the Father. It's through the Son. But see, that question, it gave up very, very important information. The first one, as I shared before, it let Jesus know of who, what kind of people he was going to be dealing with. But secondly, he used the same question to bounce over into a question to the disciples to now they were already ready to answer because the question he asked about others made them question, well, what do I think about him? See, when Jesus asked his question, his men tell Jesus what they've been hearing from others. They said, some people say you're John the Baptist. Is that the word? Some say Elijah. Others say one of the prophets. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the responses of the people. The first response, John the Baptist. Jesus certainly resembled John. I mean, their preaching was very resembling. They preached about repentance and righteousness. But see, many people had seen Jesus and John together. So this response is kind of strange to me, but, you know, because belief, you know, Herod and everybody else believed that Jesus was none other than John the Baptist raised from the dead, remember, in Mark 6:14. That's probably where that theory come from. Other believers said that Jesus was Elijah, raised from the dead. See, this makes little or no sense. Both Jesus and Elijah conducted their ministries that marked a clear, convicting preaching and convincing miracles. Others believe that They said that Jesus was one of the prophets. This was, you know, this for a long list included Moses, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, others. I mean, many others. Moses. I mean, Jesus declared the law of God, like Isaiah. Jesus preached about sacrifice and holiness, like Daniel. The message of Jesus was prolific message of coming king, of the king in his kingdom. Okay, let's check out Jeremiah. Jeremiah carried out the mystery marked by compassion and brokenness. He was, after all, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's in Isaiah 53 and 3. Like Hosea, Jesus loved the unlovable and was willing to redeem the lost. Those of us that didn't deserve. Those of us that were in darkness that could now be brought to light. When? Right now. See, that's what people were saying. But other people were also, you know, they were expressing some other opinions about Jesus too. Look at what the Pharisees said in John 10:20. He has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Look what the scribe said in Mark 3:22. He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casted he out devils. That, you remember, that was in Mark 3:22. The Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish religion, said he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of his witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with songs in their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is thee that that smote thee? That, remember, that was in Matthew 26, 65 through 68. I mean, his own family and friends said he is beside himself. That was in Mark 3:21. I mean, when Jesus even hung on the cross, giving his last ransom for sin, like the elite, you know, the elite time that he expressed of other people's, you know, of his own willingness to let God's will be done. But they said, likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves and the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that he may, that we may see and believe. So that's another sermon in itself together, because that's why we get lost. We want to see it. That's the only way we can believe it. But then it says, and that they were crucified with him, revealed him. Mark 15:31-32. See, not every voice in that day lifted up the name of Jesus. Some people knew who he was and proclaimed him openly. John Baptist, and this was way before the question was even there. John had already proclaimed Jesus openly in John 1:29. The angels got it right. So they worship him in Luke 2. Simeon got it right in Luke 2:25. Anna got it right. The dying thief on the right of him, remember, he got it right. He said, because this is truly the Son of God. Remember that Roman centurion? He got it right. The blind man, I know he got it right. Bartimaeus got it right. The cloud outside Jerusalem got it right. See how many people that were, it wasn't just the disciples, but how many people had the answer because they asked the what? The question. Remember the demons in Mark 5? They got it right. They said, wait a minute, whoa. This is not time. They recognized him. But see, that's what some of the people, that's what a lot of us in this day are saying about Jesus. What are they saying about him in our day? When Jesus walked the earth, it had to be much easier for them to claim and to pronounce Jesus, much easier than it is for us. None of us have seen him. They walked with him. But what is going to be your answer? Who do you say he is? What question are you willing to ask today that will give you the answer that you, not me, because I'm doing this for myself too, but what question can you ask that will give you the proper answer, that will give you the right to make the conscious choice? Do you say what your friends say? Do you say what your mama used to say? But is your question going to be designed off of what you say, off of what you think, off of what you believe? See, as we go forth and as we get into principles of questions, answers, and choices, as we get provoked into our purpose, the real question today may be, who do you say he is? Yes, we just read through several testimonies of what other people said of him. But who do we say he is? As for me, he is the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the all. If I had the rights to develop a word and make a word, that's what I'm working on now, is to make up a word that truly can express what I feel about Christ. A lot of people will sit next to you and say, you know, I'm a Muslim, but we serve the same God. But they don't believe in Jesus. They believe Jesus was a prophet. He wasn't crucified on the cross. They say he'll return, but not as God. The Hindu, they believe in Jesus, but they just believe he's one of the millions of gods. The Jews believe that Jesus was great, but they didn't think he was a great teacher or prophet. He was not God. Now the Mormon, look what the Mormon believed. The Mormon believed that Jesus was the first baby born to God in heaven. When God, in a physical body, had sexual intercourse with Mary, his own daughter. I'm laughing, you guys, because this is how ludicrous some of this stuff is. That he had sexual intercourse with Mary, his own daughter, and that he is the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's what the Mormons say. Look what the Jehovah say. Jehovah say that they believe Jesus was once the archangel Michael before he came to earth. In their view, Jesus is not God in the flesh at all. The atheists, well, you know, they deny him ever existing at all. The agnostics just don't know what to believe about Jesus. So that society believes that Jesus was a great teacher, that he had some good ideas about loving your fellow man and being good to others. Wow. But they don't believe that he's our Savior and that he's God in the flesh. I mean, most people acknowledge his existence, but they refuse to bow to his authority and give the worship that he deserves. See, when we get in a realm of saying, you know what, enough is enough, because most of us only do what we see done. Most of us only follow those we see already going. Most of us only get up when somebody says get up. When God says that we should be the ones that would motivate and push, that we should be the ones to go seek and find, that we should be the ones to go knock on all doors and they will be answered, that we would be the ones that would go ask and all doors would be open. Look at that. See, there it goes again. Look how those three words, ask, knock, look, those are action words. Get up, that's an action word. Move, that's a noun, that's an action word. See, the action words tells me that I must activate. Now watch this. We've heard what other folks say. But now let's start fortifying ourselves, because this is where the word comes in, and we can start to fortify ourselves to get stronger in God. Because what we do is, instead of listening to what other folks say, we have to ask the question to the man who tells us what? The truth. And the truth that'll do what? Set me free. Don't you want to be free? See, there's another principle. See, the principles are in God's word that we can learn to live this life of Christ here on earth, waiting for a new Jerusalem. We can live without sin. We can make right choices if we ask the right questions. Questions lead to what? Answers. Answers lead to right choices. Questions lead to answers. Answers lead to right choices. One more time. Questions lead to answers. Answers lead to right choices. See, the principle is there, and he's going to give us what we need to get where he wants us to be. When? Right now. Not next year. Right now. Now, we've heard all the theories about what men say about Jesus, and we can't just leave it like that. We need to hear just one more opinion. And this is the opinion that I walk on. This is the opinion that I go to. This is my counselor. Woo, Jesus. This is my doctor. This is my lawyer. Now, yes, he will provide you a doctor on earth that he'll work through. Yes, he'll put a lawyer in your life that he'll work through, but he is the ultimate source of everything we need in our lives. Remember that. God has to be the source. He can send the courier. Just like the Bible says we wrestle. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. But just as the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. We have to understand that God is heaven. He is the place we got to connect to. We got to stop connecting to heavenly places. Let me back up on that one again, because let me explain that a little farther. Because just like it looks like heaven, my family members, doesn't mean it's heaven. Just because it sounds like heaven, doesn't mean it's heaven. See, this war that we're in is a war of deception. The enemy would have nothing better but to blind you of being able to see in your spiritual eyes where you could recognize heavenly and not so heavenly places. See, because maybe because we haven't asked the right questions in life that will lead us to the right answers where we can be in the right choice, a lot of us may be in a place of darkness just because it may look a little bit like heaven. Maybe some of us are in relationships that sound like, look like, feel like, sound like. But every time you get home, you know it's not like, because you're arguing, you're fighting, you're in a bad situation. You'd rather spend 12 hours at work than to come home and spend time with your spouse and your kids. You'll work all the overtime you want because you know when you get home, you're going to get the results of your unconscious decisions, because we just didn't write ask the right questions. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Do you go to church? Do you believe in going higher in God? Are you just a church? I mean, see, those questions will lead me to know if you will fit my lifestyle. Now I can make a choice and say, you know what? No, I'm going to do her a favor and let her do me a favor. And we just go high five, give God the glory, and move on. Because why should I put someone through darkness again just because, when I have the choice of making and asking a question? I know this is hitting home for somebody. Because some of the circumstances we're in, if we just would have asked the right questions, we wouldn't be in them today. Enough is enough. We have to train ourselves. We have to train ourselves to be conscious on God's word at all times, unceasingly, continually, immediately, right now. But you got that principle there. So let's go back to where I was saying that we've listened to the folks talk about it. Let's listen to the main man. Let's listen to the one that should give us direction for everything in our lives. You know, God said in Hebrews, he said, I will write my laws in their minds and on their hearts. they will be my people, and I will be there. You know, see, it's promised already that God wants to deposit into us the right answers for all the questions that we ask him. But some of us may not be going to God asking questions. See, Jesus showed us how important asking a question is. Jesus showed us that how sometimes you can ask a question and get a double answer to something that you really needed to know, and you didn't even have to ask that question, because now it incited people to think of what their answer would be. So what would your answer be today? But look, but this is what God in heaven says about this man called Jesus. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, remember this is I know everybody should remember this one, Matthew 3:17. Now this was not the wind, this was not the trees, this was God the Father speaking. He made a profound statement in verse 17. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." See, that's who we need to, that's where we need to go. That's where we need to live on, those words. But a lot of us are still in doubt and still in fear because we still hear those other resemblances coming from other parties, because we allow their opinion to become a part of our sense realm. That's why I say it's so important to protect your ear gates, your mouth gate, your nose, your eyes, your feelings. You've got to protect these areas with the Holy Ghost. You got to protect these areas with the full armor of God. You have to protect these areas so now you can fight off all the fiery darts. That's another principle. Stop waiting for one dart. There's a bunch of them coming. But you have the ability to fight them all off. Now watch this. Another thing God said. Remember when Jesus was configured in Matthew 17:5? This is what God the Father said again. He said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." But then on top of that, he said, "Hear ye him." Now, if God says that Jesus is his Son, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. I don't have to worry about your opinion, her opinion, their opinion, or anybody else's opinion, because my no-option lifestyle, it has me relying on God as my source of everything. When I need information, I go to him. When I need a new principle, I go to him. When I need an answer for a new movement, I go to him. When I need finances, I go to him. And there's a lot of things I'm going through right now that I need, but I have to go to him. Now, for me in my life, I go to him in a different way. I go to him asking him, "What can I do more for you? How can I replicate your moves? How can I learn that step? How can I follow your lead?" And then, and I'm telling you, it's a proven fact. My life is full of desire. My desire. Because, see, when you do what God says for you to do, when you go to him willing to offer to his, when you're ready to go put on the altar you, and willing to leave with nothing in your hands, now you've just activated the principle of you will have the desires of your heart. Because now the desires of your heart come from God, because you've now given him your heart, you've now given him your life, you've now given him your everything. So now it's not a question of whether you're going to get it. It might just be what color. It's not a question of how big it's going to be. It might just be what neighborhood. It's not a question of how many or how long. It's just a question of when God says it's time for me and when it's going to manifest. That's the no-options lifestyle. This is another principle that edifies, provokes a purpose. you know, the world says, and we're going to borrow this one. It says action speaks louder than words. The words in the Bible, they're great, even especially the little red market. Everybody got a Bible with red in it, right? It was always told that's Jesus. I get excited when I see that. But if I sat here on this word all day, as I got this Bible in my hand, and that's all I did with it, that's all I have from it. But if I could take this word and activate it into action, now I can see the results of what the word says can happen in my life, because the desires come from my heart. It says that I must, to now get my heart right, it says in Proverbs 23:7 is that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, if I think, I think in my mind. How do I educate my mind? By knowledge. We perish for lack of knowledge. So if I don't want to perish, I have to get more knowledge from the word of God that now can transform into perception. Okay, I know I have half the people here saying, wow, how are you going to do that? I may only have one. But for just you, I have to explain this. If I said to you today, I want you to tell me about your car. I want you to tell me, not the car you have right now, because that's your get-me-through car. I'm talking about the car of your hopes, the cars of your dreams, the car of your desires. And I said to you, tell me about your car. Well, you would then respond with an answer of maybe the color, size of the rims, how fast the engine goes, tinted windows, leather seats, reclining electrical windows, everything. You would have just now painted me a picture from the word that I asked you. All I said was describe your what? Car. When I said car to you, you did not see C-A-R. You actually saw a car. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at God's word, the more repetitiously you practice and study and get understanding and wisdom, now the word will start to look like what it says. When I say hope, I don't see H-O-P-E. I just see unlimited resources. When I see glory, I don't see G-L-O-R-Y. I just see a cloud of, woo, glory. Something that I can't, that is hard for me to even understand. When I say Jesus, I don't see white, black, purple, or any kind of man. I don't see J-E-S-U-S on paper. I see the anointed one that is covered with so much light, I can't even tell. See, we'll get caught up in, well, what color did they say he was? How tall was he? Did he eat pork? That's really irrelevant. Because he's already came and done all of that already. It's already done. He was elevated back up to the right hand of God. He doesn't look like he used to look. He doesn't sound like he used to sound. He's not the same that we recognize that walked on earth. So I cannot give an illustration or draw a picture to say Jesus looked like this, that, or another. And to tell you the truth, family, it really doesn't make a difference. Because that is another trick of deception that the enemy will use to now make us doubt again, to make us fear again. And believe me, the Bible says we should not have a spirit of fear. But a power and might. Whoa, see, those are action words again. See, there they go. If we could draw all these action words out of every chapter, now we'll start to see what the lesson really telling us to do. Wake up, get up, move, win now. Wake up, get up, move, win now. Wake up, get up, move, win now. And it has to be repetitious. And our spirit, man, has to be in that type of mindset, that way of thinking, that when it's time to go, we're already on the way. So, for me, That's good enough. If God said it, I believe it. I receive it. It's already done. No one else's opinion matters to me. And for you, I challenge you today that if it ever comes a time when someone wants to challenge Christ, remove yourself from that. If someone wants to challenge your belief in Christ, do not fight that battle. If somebody wants to debate you on whether we serve the same God, remove yourself from the debate because it's not worth it. The truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the truth. That he was sent to earth in a fleshly body. He came to earth in a fleshly body. He walked this earth among all of us. And he proved that it could be done. He proved that it could be done. A lot of lessons come out. A lot of sermons go out. A lot of motivation go out there that you can do this, you can do that. No, no, no. Let me tell you. It's already been done. I know you hear it all the time, but I need you to embrace this with truth. We have to walk in victory and with confidence that it's already done. And I can share with you, I can prove to you right now that a lot of us don't live in that with that principle. Because soon as the red notice comes in the light bill, it's not done anymore. As soon as your son has 10 days tardy at school or it hasn't done any of his homework, you know, it's not done anymore. Because the enemy will use the things of this world to deceive us, to take us off of the nuggets of Christ. See, God, in this powerful word of action, is telling us to get up and do something. The enemy would love no better than you for you just to sit on that couch with that remote control, and you can watch TD Jakes. He ain't tripping on that. You're not tithing to TD Jakes. You're not fellowshipping with TD Jakes. Yes, you're getting the word, but you're not sowing into that ministry. That's not hurting the enemy. The enemy let you do that one. That's for free. He'll abide by you being a part of New Destiny Ministries. He'll let you listen in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. But he doesn't matter if you listen to what's going on here. You're not tithing into her ministry. You're not giving it to the see, for us to find a good thing, the Bible says that when a man finds a good thing, he finds a wife. Well, let's not stop there. When we find a good thing, when we find a good thing that proclaims that Jesus is Lord, when we find a good thing that sows life into our life that may be almost in death, when we become a part of when we become a part of this walk, we gotta give it all to him. We gotta put away, we gotta cast it off, we gotta lay it all down. And we have to get in our rightful positions and understand that every principle that comes from me and it comes from you. But if you don't activate the principle, I can teach you the principle about questions, answers, and choices all day long, family. But if you will not activate asking the questions to get the answers and really get the answer, that you can take that answer and make a good, conscious choice, that principle is doing nothing. But we're all in agreement. If it was good enough, if God said it, it's good enough for me. And if it's not good enough for you, then you might as well hang up now. Or call me on a private line and we'll get it together. But if this is not, if there's questions about that, there's some steps that need to be taken. If this is not what you are willing to stand on, see, this is a self-check day. This is where you self-provoke yourself. Oh, I've been going through it all week. From the first study day, it's been hitting me all day. And it's got louder. and it's got more pronounced, and I'm more excited that Jesus is Lord. But that's what I say he is, and there's nothing else matters. The question is, what will you say he is? Then, part two, Jesus asked the question to his disciples. You know, he had to hear what other people said, remember? Then he asked them for their own opinion. Now, this is the moment of truth. Not the moment of deception. This is the moment of truth for all of us. This is the moment, right now, for such a time as this, that we'll make a choice, that we'll stand, that we'll go higher, because we proclaim it, we shout it, and we're willing to go everywhere it is to go. Now, there you go. There you go. No. Stop right there. Remember what I said before? Yes, you can, because all you had to do was do what? Come. Anything that's coming in your head now saying, No, you know what? We bind that now, and we put it away, because God says that he can, that what is for you is for you. So if you've come, forget everything else. Wipe it away. Get out of the pity party. Just throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Cast it all. Your cares and your worries and your pains and your job situation, your marriage situation, your children's situation, cast them all on him. So, who do you say he is? See, everything Jesus had taught them and shown them had been leading up to this moment. Every lesson, the five loaves, the fish, the healing, everything up to this moment in time was meant that they could, that would now give them enough substance to stand on. Every miracle was leading to this word, to this time. Every word of truth was meant for now. See, I look at this as being a spiritual crossroad. See, the response to this question will let Jesus know how effective his personal ministry had been to those men. Remember last week I was sharing that what you give your attention to, that spirit will come live inside of you. If you're watching enough TV, whatever's on TV, that spirit will come live in you. If you're watching enough word station, that word will come inside of you. If you're watching enough SpongeBob will come in you. But if you give God your attention to his word, now our answer could be built off of what we built our relationship with him on. See, he needs to know how effective he is in our lives. He needs to know how effective has his ministry helped you to change. And only way he can know it is by us shouting it aloud. Jesus simply asked. It wasn't a long question. I think it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 words. But, because remember, this is the second part of the question. He said, what do men say I am? Now he says, but, wait a minute. Okay, you told me all that. But, remember I told you, there's a contractual thing to God. There's stuff to come, but there's something you got to do for it. The question was, but, who say ye that I am? It's a simple question. But it was full of so many, you know, implications. A correct answer to that, the right question could take us to salvation. I mean, the right answer. The right answer could lead us to hell, you know, or the wrong answer could lead us to hell. And there is, believe me, a correct and an incorrect answer. Peter, now look, Peter was the spokesman for the disciples. So by him being, when you have a spokesman, the spokesman usually speaks for the whole team. That means the team is in agreement. As you like a church, the pastor speaks what's been agreed by him and the members. It has to be a spirit of unity, a spirit of agreement in any group, form, or church. But Peter said, "Thou art Christ." It wasn't just Peter. It was all of them, because they had now confirmed to each other. This is their spokesperson coming through. So a lot of people read this and they say, oh, it was only Peter. Peter only said it, so he must only believe it. No, Peter was the spokesman. So that means they didn't all speak out of order, and that it wasn't confusing. One person must speak. Here's another principle. Look at it. It's right there. In everything you're involved in, you need one person that's going to be your spokesperson. Oh, Jesus. We'll repeat that again. No matter what you're doing, whatever group you're a part of, whatever team you're a part of, whatever dance, whatever it is that has one, that has two or more people join, do not speak again until one person speaks wholly for everybody. You've been trying to get that business proposal approved. It hasn't went through. You know why? Because they keep hearing three different plans. It's really the same plan. But don't you know the principle is that, you know, you could tell me a story on the east side of town, and I may share it downtown, but by the time it gets to the west side of town, that story has changed. This is prolific. This is the word showing me this. If Peter was the spokesman, he wasn't a spokesman just because they must have needed one. And remember, Jesus formulated these men. Jesus trained these men. Jesus set up the structure. So he had to set the structure up that there would not be a leader, but a spokesperson. So one voice could be heard. So one vision could be heard. So one desire could be heard. So God could truly give you the desire of your heart. God could truly bless your ministry if he hears one voice. God could really bless your church if he hears one voice. God could really bless your marriage if he hears one voice. Family, that doesn't mean that you're not important. Family, that doesn't mean that you don't count or that you don't matter. Because you may be the spokesman. But for excellence of God to go forth, we got to start getting away from everybody putting their two cents in on something that's really godly that he gave to all of us, but we got to give it back to him. And in the structure I'm seeing here, one person must speak for us. But Peter said, "Thou art Christ," and he got it right. In Matthew's account of these events, Matthew quotes Peter saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, that was in Matthew 16:16. See, Peter saw in a humble, homeless carpenter from Nazareth the essence of God himself. See, Peter looked at Jesus and saw the Messiah, which is the word Christ. Anyway, it's a title, not a name. It literally means the anointed one. Peter also was a small person to say that Jesus was the Son of God. What a statement of faith. I mean, it is made even more amazing by the fact that up to this point, only God and the demons had recognized, identified the identity of Jesus Christ. See, and like I told you, now watch this. If Peter didn't come to this knowledge on his own, because Matthew said in chapter 16, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed unto me this, but my Father which is in heaven. See, the Lord's identity was revealed to Peter by God himself. Now, this is true in every genuine conversation. No one is saved by the persuasive opinions of men. We are only saved by the truth in Jesus Christ. See, we're only saved by our personal spiritual eyes being opened. And they can't be opened just by, waking up in the morning. God has to open your eyes. And it only comes by you being willing to activate your spiritual eyesight, because you're walking a spiritual life, because it's not against flesh and blood. It's against what? Principalities and powers, spirits. God gives us faith to believe it's about salvation. Do you know how many people run from Christianity because of the one thing, judgment, that there is a result for every action? I don't want that result. I don't want to go through that. So they'll give up life completely just because they know there's an outcome. But look at us that continue to worship. Look at those of us that continue to proclaim. We know judgment's coming. But because of his example, we can now ask questions, get answers, and make choices that we can now walk sinless. And look, and also, when you proclaim Jesus, let it be known that you're saved. It lets you proclaim who you are in Christ. As we openly confess him, we are saved. But you know what? Just because you're saved doesn't mean everybody else is too. Well, Pastor, we sit in the same row at church. Did you ever ask the question? See, you don't know who you're entertaining because you never asked the question of, what do you really believe in? And when they give you the answer, the Spirit will already let you know what choice you need to make. And what choice you need to make when? Immediately. Not yesterday. Not next week. Not 10 years from now. But the choices that you must make right now. See, we're getting better. Every week we're growing. But we can't stop there. We have to understand that this life of Christ is ongoing. It will not, it cannot, and it should not stop. Because the enemy is not giving up. And yes, it would be good to get fully armored and just sit in the chair with your armor on top of you. And I hope you can see this as I'm speaking these words. But you got your feet on the ottoman and you're fully armored in all your armor. The arms are, propped up because, the armor of God, it resembles worship. So your arms are pitched straight up, and you're in your favorite chair, all girded up, all shielded up, helmeted up, everything, but you're just sitting there. That armor won't be as strong as it would be as if you had activated it through faith. Because you got to walk in that armor by faith so you can now eliminate sight. I got the whole armor of God. People say, where at? I proclaim it every day. I may just be walking it and can tell that this is the time I need to let it be known in the atmosphere. I have on the whole armor of God. that announcement will eliminate some of the mess even coming to me. Because, see, there's some demons that ain't strong enough to come up against enough that get strengthened in God. We can't get to a place, we can't be elevated to a place that the enemy will now move around and go another direction. We can't get so strong in him that we can actually go out into his camp and win the war. But here we go again. We go out there too many times unprepared. We go out there too many times without the full armor. We go out there too many times without all the answers to the questions. And God is continually teaching us that we have to become conscious in our minds. We have to be conscious in our thinking. We have to be conscious in what we say. We have to be conscious in what we do. We have to be conscious of who's around us. We have to be conscious on what we allow ourselves to come inside our spirit. We have to be conscious on what you wear to church. You have to be conscious on how you witness. You must be conscious in everything you do. And through principle teachings, we can now write it on the wall and have something to follow. Because as the word is put down, it will not return to him void. And if we stay in line with his word, it won't return to us void either. And we can follow the steps that have been ordered by God. But when you get to the three roads in the middle of the street, we just walk. We don't ask the question. I know. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord just dropped this in my spirit. We ask the question, but we ask the wrong people. We ask the parking guard on the side of the corner. We ask the map or Google or MapQuest. Which one of these roads should I take? But the road for victory in your life, the road that we should follow, we have to go back to the source. My steps are ordered by the Lord, but your life is not in victory. Stop right there. Because when you get to a point of enough is enough, you can now reformulate yourself and get back in the right position. But we just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And yes, we think we're doing a good thing, but we're not on the right road that has been ordered just for us. We may be on somebody else's road, or we may be on a road that doesn't have fruit. We may be on a road that doesn't have a paved surface. We may be on a road that's all rocky. Just because we didn't ask the question, which road would you have me go, Father? Which road, Father, is ordered for me? Simple question. Then the answer comes. Left, center, right, whichever he says it is, as we follow that, now we can get into the steps that have been ordered. See, the steps weren't given. Because then it would happen as you're going. Well, your steps are given to you in the Lord. That means that as you walk, they're given to you. But your steps have been ordered, meaning that it's already a path. There's already a victory. There's already a mansion. What did he say? He said, in my Father's house, there are one mansion. No. Two mansions. No. He said there are many mansions. Look it up in the dictionary. Many doesn't stop. Many can go from everything to nothing. It's impossible to stop there. So all I'm saying, family, is that as we move forward and say that we want the goodness of God, who do you say he is? Oh, yes, I know when you're sitting at home, yes, you tell your kids and your family about Jesus. Yeah. I know when you're at church with your people that you're familiar around being around. I know it. Yes, you tell them about Jesus. Yep. You tell them he's the first and last and the end. You tell them that he heals you. You tell them all that good stuff. But who do you say he is around those that don't know him? See, we have to get out the box. We have to change around the way we've done things in the past. We have to get out of the old habits. And remember, you came, right? Because the first command was to come. Well, at the end of his ministry, he started out with come. But at the end of his ministry, all he said was, go. And there's some other instructions after that about making disciples and baptizing and all that. But it was very, very clear. Come, go. In the midst of that, you got to get it together. You have to get the principles in order so we can go out in excellence and stop coming back defeated. There's too many prodigal sons returning home these days because we didn't ask the right question. There's too many prodigal sons that have left the body of Christ because they made a bad choice and their pride won't let them come back. So now they're living in sin because now they're just stuck in their circumstance just because they wouldn't ask the right question. Jesus is showing us right here the prolificness of asking questions. Questions give you answers. Answers, you can make choices. When? Right now. So be encouraged today. If you came, you're already on your way. If you've already come, you're already on your way. Nothing else matters. But what does make a point here is that work must start here. Every day must be a day that you take up your cross, no matter what that cross is. And it can't be the same cross. I know it's not only me, but every day is a different cross. And we must live in this consciousness of mind that when we ask questions, expect an answer. Because you need an answer to make the choice. I've asked people questions before, and they look at me like, then that means there's nothing else for us to talk about, because without an answer, I can't make a choice on whether you belong part of this project or not. And all that to say is, if Christ did it, it should be good enough. And what he did, he didn't just do it just to do it. He did it so we could have something to stand on. So as we end this program this week, I encourage you not to answer that question right now, not to put the pressure on you. Take it all off right now. And in the next day, ask the Lord. Go back to him and proclaim. Start anew. It doesn't matter if just less than 5 seconds ago you didn't do what you were supposed to do. There's a new now in place right now that you can now get up again and stop falling down. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've taught us to ask questions, Heavenly Father God. You've taught us that, Lord, as we ask questions, that we will be given answers. And as we get an answer, Heavenly Father God, we can now make a conscious choice. So, Heavenly Father God, we thank you. Lord, we worship you today, Heavenly Father God, that your word has went forth, and it has went forth with your power. Lord, we pray that as your word has went forth, it has changed, rearranged, and transformed our way of thinking. Lord, we know that we are in you. Lord, we claim that you're our Father. But, Lord, we want to get better every day. And no information is bad information. And, Lord, we need you to give us all of your wisdom, all of your understanding, all of your knowledge. So, Lord, we can ask the questions to get the answers to do exactly what you said to do. Lord, we glorify you. We magnify you. And, Lord, we lift you up in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this broadcast, Heavenly Father God, and everyone that is listening right now, Heavenly Father God. Bless their households, Heavenly Father God. Bless their marriages, Heavenly Father God. Bless their children, Heavenly Father God. Bless their businesses, Heavenly Father God. Birth their visions, Heavenly Father God. Give them the means to do your work here on earth as it already is in heaven. We thank you. We claim it is already being done. In your mighty Son, Jesus' name, amen, amen. All those in agreement said, amen.
Amen.
Hello?
Pastor Hamilton, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Oh, praise the Lord. Is this the word? Has this been a blessing? I've been writing and writing, and it's just awesome, but I'm going to go to a caller. I don't know, area code 501-5845.
Hello.
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 Oh, how are y'all? God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Well, your word really spoke out to me. I've just been struggling with depression and fear, and I've been through a lot, and God has delivered and healed me, and I know better, and I've just allowed the enemy to really speak to me, and, you know, the time is now, and faith is now, and I know all this, and God really spoke to me today for y'all, and thank you. And there's
hallelujah.
No possible way but the knowledge and the word that I have from Christ for me to stay here, because all I need is him, and he will tell me and lead and guide me on everything I need to do. And the enemy, you have no control over me and my thoughts no more, because the time is now for y'all.
In the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
And I'm just so thankful, because I would listen to Sister Bernard and Mother and Anthony Hill and so many others that have just blessed me through the blog radio, and I was just shutting it out and allowing the Spirit to oppress me, and I will not let that happen. I am
hallelujah.
And he will have no authority over me or my marriage or my children, because God has got something in store for me. He has. And I just feel that's why I keep getting these attacks from the enemy, because the Lord has a special thing for me, and I know this. I know I've been called to preach. I know my husband's been called to preach. And every time I get a breakthrough, every time I get a vision, that old nasty critter comes after me, and I know better. I should have been falling on my face and getting in the Word and not being mad at God, because God didn't do nothing.
Yeah, that's right. But sister, can I help you with a little suggestion?
Yeah.
The number one thing, and I tell all my friends this, is that when we can approach this battle with the eyesight of God, understanding that it's coming. Say that with me. It's coming.
It's coming.
Every day, it's coming. No matter how close you get, no matter how better you get, no matter how anointed you get, it's coming. But when we can get strong enough to take the battle to him, and the only way we can take it to him is understanding it's coming. And I share this last thing with you and before I get ready to pray with you. We cannot win this war unless we invade the enemy's camp. So I encourage you today. I encourage you today to stand on the word of God and don't allow the enemy to come in. That's where we have the authority to tell him to get thee behind me, not just in a physical form, but in a spiritual form.
Right.
And I'm going to be praying with you and your family, because I the Lord has confirmed in my spirit everything you just said, and we're going to believe for it. It's done. It's complete. And we just want to hear the report when you come back and say, you know what? It didn't take a year. It didn't take a month. It was right then when we proclaimed it, God made it happen.
That's right.
So God bless you. We love you and appreciate you. And come hear us next week.
Yes, I will.
God bless you.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That's a blessing. We're going to Sister Albertine. Sister Albertine.
God bless you guys. That message was beautiful. I loved it. right on time. It was just a blessing to hear it. It touched some points on some things that I've been dealing with in my life. And as far as God asking, who do you say I am? We have to know that God is everything to us, and we have to keep put him first and seek him first and know that if we put him first, then everything will follow. And that message is powerful. I loved it. Thank you so much. Ministry and everything is great. Thank you. Thank you. It's powerful.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too. Keep me in prayer, and I'll keep
always.
You in prayer.
So. All right. Always. And always.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless.
Okay, bye.
Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to Sister Dawn. Can you hear
me? Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah. I'm going through something right now. And you already know who it is, so we just going to pray.
But yeah,
y'all,
we want.
He's in the hospital. He jumped off a two-story building.
Yes, sir?
He jumped off a two-story building. And he's in police custody right now because of his illness. I know he has a problem, but I've been praying about it, and I know you all have too. And I appreciate Pastor Hampton. I appreciate him praying for my son. And I haven't seen him because I can't see him because he's under the jurisdiction of the police. So we're just going to keep praying for him. I don't know if he's hurt real bad or what, but I know he's in the hospital right now. So
okay.
Thank you all.
Pastor Hamilton, you want a job? His name
is
Jarvis.
Yes. What is his first name?
Jarvis. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, first of all, Lord, we know that your word said that we have the ability and the power to claim what your son Jesus claimed. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we claim for immediate healing to take place in the body of Jarvis, Heavenly Father God. Lord, not just from the injury, Heavenly Father God, we say heal his mind, Heavenly Father God. We say, Lord, correct his body in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that your spirit will be abound in him, that by the evidence of the Holy Spirit, he will cry out your name, Lord, and that he will proclaim you for the rest of his life. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, it's done. We pray that the anointing falls on his body right now through the spirit realm. We disperse the heavenly, the healing, and the protective angels around and about him right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And then, Lord, as we touch and agree, and as we believe, and as we proclaim that it's all ready done, Lord, just give us the witness and the victory that we can give the report of the Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and Lord, it is done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Pray for Dawn, that's Evangelist Bernard's sister, that she get peace.
Yeah. We talked about, we were praying the other day for her, too. Okay, yes. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God
thank
bless.
You.
I think that's about it, Pastor Hamilton. It's just been a blessing. I mean, the word, I mean, we was on this subject all week, and I felt like you were going there because normally when it's a topic or whatever, you're usually put Provoke Friday with it, and it was such a blessing. And I just thank
you. Well,
God
bless you guys. God bless you guys so much, and we appreciate you. And it looks like we're getting out of here a little earlier this week, so enjoy your Friday. And don't forget I think it's a broadcast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
No, it's 5 a.m.
Oh, 5 a.m. Ooh, 5 a.m. your time, but it's that's
Carolina
7 a.m.
8 a.m., y'all, Carolina time, right?
8 a.m., okay, all right, good deal. Well, I'm going to try to catch that. If you guys want to check Pastor E out, I'm at Provoked Ministry, Provoked to Purpose Ministries on Facebook. That shows our website, all our videos, and all our little ongoing outside activities. We are doing an outreach called Take It Back Now. And
mm-hmm.
Take It Back Now is a hood-to-hood movement to go and get take back what the enemy has stolen, our families, our friends, our relatives, people we don't even know, but just people that will come to God and give their lives to him. But also we want to provide them with the resources and the information to do an immediate change in their lives. You know, a lot of times we go out, we pray with people, and we're gone. We believe this movement, this season, is to go out and produce not only to get them to know about Jesus, but get them to see how Jesus really can move in their lives and how he can immediately take them out of darkness and put them in the light. So you guys be in prayer with us. If you're interested in getting involved, we have a donation sheet on our website. And it just know this is good ground, and God will bless you. We bless you, and we thank God for you, and just be blessed. Talk to you next Friday.
Okay, praise the Lord. And we're going to close out with that. We just thank the Lord for Pastor Hamilton. This is Friday. He's been doing it for quite a while, provoked us in different areas. We thank the callers. Some of them have left off. We had quite a few, but they have left off. But the message has been excellent. Vandis Bernard should be back Sunday morning on the broadcast for, a half an hour of prayer. Tune in at 7 a.m. our time. Okay, God bless.
Okay, good deal.
Did you want to bring a music, or you want me to put it on Pastor Hamilton?
Yeah, just put a song. Yeah, just put a song on.
Okay, that'll be fine. I thought I'll ask
you.
All right,
God bless you.
You're a psalmist. God bless. Praise the Lord.
Okay, bye bye.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Have a blessed weekend, everybody. We're closing out now. We thank you for being on. God bless. Praise the Lord.
That's all right.
What's on my name? Yeah, Miss Miller. Yeah, but I wanted to tap it. Yes, Miss Miller. I'm sorry, David. That's what you want? Miss Miller, there you go. There you go. That tablet costs $2.49 in the face. The cabinet cost $2.49 at the store, but it was on sale for $1.79 in the paper this month. You see what I'm talking about?